Good afternoon and welcome to Speaking Truth to Empire on 88.1 KFCF Free Speech Radio for Central California. My name is Dan Yassine and I'm a local anti-war and anti-empire activist. Mike Rhodes is at the controls. We are in our 2016 Summer Pledge Drive. We need your support. Please call 1-800-439-5732. Or you can go to www.kpfa.org or www.kfcf.org and pledge online. Today is May 18th, 2016, third Wednesday of the month. Every third Wednesday from 3 to 3:30 p.m., I interview authors, scholars, bloggers, columnists, and activists who help us look at our world through the prism of American imperialism. On the show, we talk about U.S. foreign and domestic policies and the actions of the military-industrial governmental surveillance complex. These actions have severe consequences, not only for the people here in America, but also for the people in other countries. To create a better, humane, and a compassionate world, we must first understand what is being done in our name, and we must always be willing to stand up, speak out, and speak truth to empire. Today we have David Swanson on telephone with us. Hello, David.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being my guest on the show. David Swanson is an author, blogger, activist, journalist, and radio host. He is director of worldbeyondwar.org and campaign coordinator for rootsactions.org. Swanson has authored several books, including the recently published War is a Lie, second edition. He blogs at davidswanson.org and warisacrime.org. He hosts Talk Nation Radio. David will be in Northern California during the Memorial Day weekend. He will be in Fresno with his friend and Peace Fresno's friend, Cindy Sheehan, on Memorial Day. They will speak at Community United Church of Christ, located at 5050 North Fresno Street, 2 to 4 p.m. David, let's start with your new book, War is a Lie, second edition, a great book that should be a required reading for all anti-war activists everywhere. War is a Lie is a thorough refutation of every major argument used to justify wars, drawing on evidence from numerous past wars with a focus on those that have been defended as just wars or good wars. We will talk about the just and good wars a little bit later. Let me quote Cindy Sheehan. David Swanson is a longtime friend and one of my personal heroes because he is relentlessly and uncompromisingly against war. David, give us a summary of your book and how can our listeners purchase your book?
Well, the book is meant to be a guide to prepare people to recognize war lies more quickly and more effectively. You know, you had polls showing majority support or close to it for U.S. wars that were launched in Afghanistan and Iraq, you know, 1 and 03. And then within a year and a half or so, and ever since, you had majorities telling every pollster who would ask, those wars never should have started. Which, of course, didn't mean you had a majority saying end it now, because once you start a war, then you have to continue the war on behalf of the young people who are being sent to kill and die in it, which is, you know, another sort of madness. But, you know, if we can recognize the lies immediately, not wait decades to find out, you know, that the Gulf of Tonkin incident didn't happen according to official statements, but recognize, you know, from the start, that if you have U.S. ships on the coast of Vietnam attacking Vietnam and then alleging aggression by Vietnam, there's something wrong with that. You know, not wait for a, you know, there's another inquiry in Britain about Iraq that's going to come out later this July. You know, instead of waiting for that sort of nonsense, recognize that a country possessing a certain kind of weapons is not a legal or moral or practical justification for bombing a city and invading a country and overthrowing a government. You know, recognize that usually the claims are lies, But they're also answering the wrong question that is not what we should be asking at all. And we should recognize from the start that any sort of case made for war is a false one. You know, as the U.S. public recognized very well on the proposal to bomb Syria in 2013 and pushed back very successfully, as people recognized in 2015, holding the Iran nuclear agreement in place up against arguments from senators on down demanding urgent need for a war on Iran. But then you have these videos of white Americans being killed with knives by ISIS, and all rational thought goes out the window, and let's have more wars. So, you know, the book tries to prepare people for those types of propaganda that they seem most ill-equipped to resist, as well as to lay out the various types of approaches that are taken to marketing wars. There are very few, and the wars are very similar, all of them, for millennia. The 2003 war on Iraq not being any sort of exception to the rules.
How can people get your book?
How can people get the book? You can get it at any bookstore. Support your local bookstore. Get it from Amazon.com or wherever you want to get it. Go to my website, warisalie.org, and see my schedule of events, including Fresno.
You mentioned in your description of the book, but basically the war lies, I think they are repeated over and over again, is like something like a dictator is, or Hitler is killing his own people. He's a threat not only to the region, but to the United States. And he has, or he's building weapons of mass destruction. We have to do something now. Children are dying. We have R2P, responsibility to protect. And the women are being suppressed, and we have to do something now. So my question to you is this, is that we know these lies work, as you said earlier. But the main question is that when they are repeated a couple of years later, 4 years later, why do they still work?
That is an excellent question. I mean, that's the purpose of the book, is to say, go back and look at the past wars that we were lied to about and recognize that they're going to use the same types of lies for future wars. The problem is that people forget the past wars, and there is a massive industry in place for beautifying the past wars. They are building an enormous World War I monument in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. now to go with the World War II and Korea and Vietnam and all the other war monuments of all the ridiculous wars that they're going to try to revive respect and honor for, although nobody for many decades took seriously the idea that there was a good justification for that war. President Obama has declared the Korean War a success all of a sudden. The Pentagon has a $20 million program for fixing up and celebrating and lying about the war on Vietnam. As the past wars get mythologized. I mean, you get back to the American Revolution, and there's hardly a word of fact in any of the kids' history books. I mean, it's all myth. These from Patrick Henry and George Washington and all these heroes, there's not a word of truth in it. Then it's harder to resist the lies about future wars, because we imagine that the past wars were actually good ones. And so, you know, you had 8 years ago the memory of Iraq alive to the point where Hillary Clinton could not win a primary because she had voted and told all the lies and pushed all the propaganda for a war on Iraq. 8 years later, people start to forget that. You know, even 5 years later, you had enough of that memory that President Obama backed off making a similar case for a war on Syria when the U.S. public was against it, because you had Congress members saying, I don't want to be that jerk who votes for another Iraq, because that memory was alive. But we don't have the resources to keep it alive, and it won't be kept alive in the news media. It won't be kept alive in, you know, official proceedings in Washington or in history books in our schools or colleges. You know, it only the peace movement will keep memory of past war lies alive. And without that, nobody knows that the lies about the new wars aren't something new.
David, in your book, after describing the horrors committed by both sides in World War II, resulting in the deaths of over 70 million people, you wrote, if World War II was a good war, I'd hate to see a bad one. If World War II was a good war. Why did FDR have to lie us into it? Talk to us about some of the reason why people think the World War II was a good war, and how do you refute those claims?
Well, my unscientific conclusion is that World War II is the top subject of U.S. entertainment. I mean, it just shows up everywhere. It is the foundational myth now of the United States. It's replaced the American Revolution in 80-90% of Americans' minds as the foundation of the U.S. project of the past 70 years of permanent war making. It's all against a dead man named Hitler. And of course, nobody goes back 75 years to justify anything else, you know, much less the top, most expensive, biggest investment, the central project of our society for each and every one of the past 70 years. Most people will go back 70 years to find a single example of it that they're willing to defend, you know, writing off all of the disastrous wars since. But you go back to it and look at it at all closely, and it's the single worst thing that the species ever did to itself on this planet. You know, it's roughly 10 times as many people killed by the war as killed in the camps in Germany, which are now, after the fact, a humanitarian justification for a war that had literally nothing to do with saving the Jews or the others in the camps, that in fact worked against that. The Coast Guard chased a ship of Jewish refugees away from Miami. The United States would not let them in. Churchill and his foreign secretary, Anthony Eden, claimed that they wouldn't, you know, they generally would say, we won't talk with Hitler because we just won't talk with Hitler, even though they were negotiating with him on prisoners of war and everything else. But then, you know, eventually they would admit, we don't want to save the Jews because of what a job it would be and how much transportation and how many ships we would have to use, even though, you know, the British had evacuated huge numbers of their people from Dunkirk, and they, you know, they had the ability to do it. They didn't want to, and the majority of the American public and the majority of the public in the Western countries didn't want to their eternal shame. And FDR didn't want to, and you know, but back then the lies were not about, you know, the humanitarian justification and that sort of mythology and the evil of Hitler. They were about defensiveness. So you had FDR telling lies about Nazi plans to take over the Americas and attacks on innocent ships that were in fact assisting the British. And all of the buildup and preparation for World War II and the intentional provocation of Japan to fulfill the promise to Churchill to get into the European war, and then getting in only with your toes and until you had to get in a bit more while the Soviets did, you know, 80% of the killing and dying, you know, winning this. If it was a victory for some ideology, it was for communism. But, of course, it wasn't a victory for an ideology. It was just a mass slaughter that gave us, you know, through the continuation of the war and the insistence on total surrender, gave us all-out war on civilians and all variety of weapons and nuclear bombs baselessly dropped on cities, during the whole course of which the United States was working on building its new empire, had an apartheid state for African Americans, had Japanese Americans in camps, was doing eugenics and human experimentation during and after the war, Operation Paperclip, hiring hundreds of top Nazis into the U.S. military after the war. You know, and this is all back in an era when we knew much less about the power of nonviolence, but where, when nonviolence was used, it was incredibly effective against the Nazis. You know, so to claim that there was something good about such a murderous enterprise, you know, the worst thing done in any short period of time on Earth, is just outrageous if you look at the facts.
You are listening to Speaking Truth to Empire on 88.1 KFCF Free Speech Radio for Central California. We are speaking with author, blogger, activist, journalist, and radio host David Swanson. We are in our 2016 Summer Pledge Drive. All the money donated on air supports KFCF Radio directly. Even though the billing goes through KPFA, it all comes back to the Valley. Only 1 in 10 regular listeners to KFCF is a subscriber. Many more people who listen to us should become listener sponsors. We need to expand our membership. If you are a frequent listener, we want and need your support. A pledge of $25 qualifies you to become a voting member of the Fresno Free College Foundation. We need your support. Please call 1-800-439-5732, or you can go online at www.kpfa.org or www.kfcf.org. David, let's move on to just war theory and practice. The idea of just war originated with Catholic theologian Saint Augustine 1700 years ago, and now we have Catholic Church turning against this doctrine. David, tell us about the criteria and conduct of a just war. How has it been used to justify wars for centuries, and why do you think it is a terrible idea, similar to like justifying slavery, justifying rape, or justifying child abuse?
I think it's a bizarre holdover from a past era. It's a medieval idea left over to us in a completely different age, an idea that still frames its components in the Latin language, which nobody speaks, an idea developed by someone who defended slavery as sanctioned by God, who thought that killing non-Christians was actually good for them and helping them to stop their sinning, who actually didn't believe in self-defense. You shouldn't value merely human life. You should welcome death as a gateway to heaven. Some of these views are far, far out of the mainstream or even comprehensible to people today. And yet, just war theory lives on. And just war theory, has various lists of what people think can make a war just. It must be publicly declared, it must have a reasonable prospect of success, it must only be waged as a last resort, it must be waged by a legitimate authority for good intentions, and then during the war, you must use proportional means to justified ends and not attack non-combatants and treat enemy soldiers as human beings. And, there has never in the history of the world been a war that met these criteria. It cannot be done. You cannot use a war as a last resort because there are always other resorts. I'm talking here with the United States in mind, which wages aggressive wars thousands of miles from its shores. The example that everyone will bring back is, well, what if you're in one of those countries getting attacked thousands of miles from here? Can't you fight back? Well, you can, but it's not the last resort. We have learned that nonviolence is more likely in more cases to be more effective than violence. I have no interest in, telling the people that my government is bombing whether they are allowed to fight back or not. The point is, if my government would stop bombing them, they wouldn't have to. And the idea that you can treat enemy soldiers as human beings while trying to kill them, it just doesn't make any sense in contemporary thought. You cannot have a war meet these criteria, and if you had a war that met all of these criteria, it would still be an immoral, impractical, illegal exercise in mass murder. It's wonderful to see the Catholic Church rejecting this entire idea and say, a war cannot be just any more than slavery can be just or rape can be just. We're going to outgrow this madness. U.S. academics and philosophy and ethics departments and politicians, are now lagging far behind the Catholic Church, which is an interesting development.
North Korea just recently announced that it would be not first to use nuclear weapon, thereby joining China and India, the only other nuclear power to do so. Actually, China is the only nuclear power which has unconditionally agreed not to be the first to use, while India and North Korea say they will use nukes if countries survival was at stake. Using nukes is, of course, the violation of nuclear non-proliferation treaty. Soviet Union has no first use policy, but Russia rescinded the U.S., the only country to ever use the nukes, has refused to adopt no first use policy. Actually, it has come probably close to using nukes again many times. What is your take on the first use policy in a couple of minutes we have?
Well, it's an interesting question to follow just war, because, you know, try to imagine a first use of nukes as, you know, fitting all of these ancient criteria of last resort and proportional and no deaths to civilians and so forth. I mean, it cannot fit any of them, and yet it's official U.S. policy, and it is incredibly dangerous. And it's not just using them that would violate the Non-Proliferation Treaty, it's having them and failing to get rid of them. And so it's wonderful to see the non-nuclear nations moving rapidly toward creating a treaty to ban nukes as an effort to push back against the nuclear nations that are not fulfilling their obligation under that existing non-proliferation treaty to get rid of their nukes. It is an incredibly dangerous situation because of U.S. aggression toward Russia and China, and treating the South China Sea as U.S. territory and Chinese actions there as aggression toward the U.S., treating Russian planes flying at U.S. planes and ships near Russia's borders, nowhere near the United States, as Russian aggression, taking NATO right up to Russia's borders, now trying to get a partnership with Ukraine and Georgia, putting military so-called defense in Romania and Poland, putting tanks into Georgia and Poland, and military exercises in Eastern Europe and ships in the Black Sea, and Russia threatening war on half a dozen European countries if the U.S. and NATO don't stop this program of openly threatening Russia with World War III. I mean, this is incredibly dangerous, and the fact that the United States media, the big corporate media, is not dealing with it like shows like this one and stations like this one are, is making it ever more dangerous than it was even in decades gone by.
Thank you, David. I guess we just have a few minutes left. We'll have Camille Russell from Peace Fresno to make the announcement, and then I'll do the announcement for the pledge drive. So I thank you for being my guest on the show, and I'm looking forward to see you and Cindy on Memorial Day.
Thank you, Dan. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. We have Camille Russell online with us.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Camille. Thank you for being online. Okay. Camille Russell is a former president and current board member of Peace Fresno. Tell us about the David Swanson and Cindy Sheehan event in Fresno.
It's really exciting because on Memorial Day from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Community United Church of Christ at 5550 North Fresno Street here in Fresno, we're going to have two of the national peace movement leaders speaking at the church, David Swanson and Cindy Sheehan. David is bringing his book, and David and Cindy are going to be in conversation discussing topics in the book. It's a thorough refutation of every major argument used to justify the wars. It's a free event, and we can also look forward to hearing from David and Cindy about their view of what those of us who oppose war can and should do right now. The book will be on sale at a very discounted price of $15 for his book, War is a Lie. We hope everybody will come out again to the United Church of Christ, Community United Church of Christ, and look in the current edition, the May edition of the Community Alliance newspaper. You will see the information there in the Peace Fresno ad if you haven't had a chance to write it down.
Okay, who can they contact if they want any more information?
They can contact Dan Yassin at comcast.net.
Or call him at 251-3361.
That's right.
Thank you, Camille, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
We are in our 2016 Summer Pledge Drive. We need your support. Please call 1-800-439-5732 or you can pledge securely online at www.kpfa.org or www.kfcf.org. KFCF is completely listener-sponsored and supported. We receive no money from the government or from underwriting sources. We have been here for 40 years and bringing a great community radio and programming to Central Valley. KFCF provides programming that cannot be heard anywhere else in Central California. This includes the wide spectrum of excellent programs from KPFA, such as Democracy Now!, Against the Grain, Flashpoint, Guns and Butter, and many more. And the locally produced programming like Wasteland of the Free, Stir It Up, Down in the Valley, Down on the Farm, Street Heat, and of course this program, Speaking Truth to Empire, where you can hear interviews with authors, bloggers, and activists like Chris Hedges, Andre Volchek, Cindy Sheehan, Madea Benjamin, Kathy Kelly, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, Kevin Barrett, Bill Blum, and author and radio host David Swanson, which you heard today. Only on KFCF you hear these progressive voices. We need your support to continue to do this important work. Do what you can. A check for 50, 100, 200, or 500 will go a long way to keep KFCF continue its mission. A pledge of $25 qualifies you to become a voting member of the Fresno Free College Foundation. Please call 1-800-439-5732 or go online www.kpfa.org or www.kfcf.org and pledge securely online. We have ongoing expenses just like any other business. This includes expenses such as electricity, telephone lines for the studio and office, the satellite link that brings KPFA programming to the valley, rent for the office and transmitter sites, ongoing costs of equipment, supplies and repairs, and numerous other expenses. Your donation buy all of that. KFCF has been an independent voice in the valley for critical analysis of local labor struggles, racial issues, war and peace issues, criminal justice conflicts, and environmental justice. KFCF is a vital communication link to activists and concerned citizens to get accurate and in-depth information about peace and organizing. So you need to call and support KFCF, 1-800-439-5732 or www.kpfa.org or www.kfcf.org. Thank you for listening. You have been listening to Speaking Truth to Empire on 88.1 KFCF Free Speech Radio for Central California. I'll be back third Wednesday of next month. Goodbye. Oh,